Penguin Random House Audio presents Magdalena, River of Dreams. This is the author, Wade Davis, with Sandra Uribe. For Martin von Hildebrand, friend and brother, who more than any other allowed me to see and understand the ways of a force that fires the hearts of all good people of the world. And even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart until, in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God. Aeschylus. Preface. Travelers often become enchanted with the first country that captures their hearts and gives them license to be free. For me, it was Colombia. The mountains and forests, rivers and wetlands, the mysterious páramos, and the beauty and power of every tropical glen and snow-crested equatorial peak opened a doorway to a wider world that I would spend my entire life coming to know. In ways impossible fully to explain, the country allowed me, even as a boy, to imagine and dream. Coming of age in Colombia in the early 1970s, living on the open road, sleeping where my hat fell, I was never afraid. The warmth of the people enveloped a young traveler like a protective cloak, tailor-made for wonder. The land itself inspired one to risk, as I wrote in the frontispiece of an early teenage journal, discomfort and uncertainty for understanding. Colombia me dio alas para volar. Colombia, as a friend once remarked, gave me the wings to fly. This strange affair, the love of a boy for a land and a people, began innocently enough in 1968, when my mother, a modest but determined Canadian woman, told me that Spanish was the language of the future. She worked all year as a secretary to earn enough money to allow me to join a small party of schoolboys that a language teacher proposed to take to Colombia. At a time when most Canadians and Americans had never experienced a commercial flight, the South American destination was terribly exotic, as indeed was the character of the man leading the adventure. The teacher was English by birth, dapper in appearance, with a scent of cologne that in those days gave him the fey veneer of a dandy, an impression betrayed by the scars on his face and a glass eye that marked a body blown apart in the war. A perfect foil to orthodoxy, Mr. Forrester was mischievous, slightly transgressive, and more than a little subversive, traits of character that made him a total inspiration to teenage boys on the loose. At 14, I was the youngest of the group and the most fortunate, for unlike the others who spent a sweltering season in the streets of Cali, I was billeted with a family in the mountains above the valley, at the edge of trails that reach west to the Pacific. It was a classic Colombian scene. Children too numerous to keep track of, an indulgent father, a grandmother who muttered to herself on a porch overlooking flowers and fruit trees, an angelic sister who more than once carried her brother and me home half-drunk to a mother, kind beyond words, who stood by the garden gate, hands on hips, feigning anger as she tapped her foot on the stone steps. For 8 weeks, I encountered the warmth and decency of a people charged with a strange intensity, a passion for life, and a quiet acceptance of the frailty of the human spirit. Several of the older Canadian students longed for home. I felt as if I had finally found it. 6 years later, in the early spring of 1974, I returned to Colombia with a one-way ticket and no plans save a promise not to return to the United States until Richard Nixon was no longer president. I had just a small backpack of clothes and 2 books, George Lawrence's Taxonomy of Vascular Plants and Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. At the time, I believed that bliss was an objective state that could be achieved simply by opening oneself unabashedly and completely to the world. Both figuratively and literally, I drank from every stream, even from tire tracks in the road. Naturally, I was constantly sick, but even that seemed part of the process. Malaria and dysentery fevers growing through the night before breaking with the dawn. Every adventure led to another. Once on a day's notice, I set out to traverse the Darien Gap. After nearly a month on the trail, I became lost in the forest for a fortnight without food or shelter. When finally I found my way to safety, I stumbled off a small plane in Panama, drenched in vomit from my fellow passengers, with only the ragged clothes on my back and $3 to my name. I had never felt so alive. Along the way, I became an acolyte of the legendary botanical explorer, Richard Evans Schultes. He, too, had found his life in Colombia. When, years later, I would write his biography, it was inevitable that the book, One River, would be a love letter to a nation by then scorned by the world. El Rio, the Spanish language edition, came out in 2002, a year that marked a low point in Colombia's fortunes. At a time when the nation's very capacity to endure was being called into question, the publication of a book on botanical exploration with a print run of just 500 copies hardly warranted attention. But a great strength of El Rio, its potent secret, as Colombian friends would later say, was the quality of the translation. Some 150 pages longer than the English original, El Rio in many ways belonged to the late Nicolas Suescun, an inspired and exceedingly generous Colombian writer and poet who set his own work aside to translate the text in a manner so elegant as to transform the language into something altogether new, while remaining absolutely loyal to the original narrative. For several years, as my work straddled the globe, I lost track of El Rio. Only when I returned to Colombia in 2008 did I learn that in my absence, the book had taken on a life of its own, with word of it spreading, especially among the young. A first clue surfaced in Santa Marta, when, quite by chance, I came upon a student on the beach reading a frayed copy of an edition that was completely unknown to me. 3 days later, while interviewing former Minister of Defense Rafael Pardo in his house in Bogotá, I noticed an unblemished copy of that same edition on his desk. El Rio, it turned out, had been embraced not just by naturalists, botanists, and anthropologists, as one might expect, but by a wide array of Colombians, old and young, men and women, artists, musicians, corporate executives and priests, politicians from across the political spectrum, and even notorious figures such as Fabio Ochoa, the imprisoned former leader of the Medellin cartel, whose sister Martha called me out of the blue, just as I came out of the shower at the airport lounge in Doha, asking that I consider visiting her brother in the federal penitentiary in Georgia. The book, she said, meant a great deal to him. By the time a third edition of El Rio appeared in 2009, I had a better understanding of its quixotic success, if only because so many Colombians had shared their thoughts and insights, and, in some instances, their gratitude. Because of cocaine, Colombia had become a pariah nation, its every citizen stained and suspect by association. Leading political figures were regularly challenged by the foreign press, or humiliated as they traveled abroad as official representatives of the country. In a story known and frequently retold on the Colombian streets, in taxis and bars, among the merchants and shopkeepers in the central market, Colombia's ambassador to the United States, Carolina Barco, former Minister of Foreign Affairs, daughter of a Colombian president, was strip-searched at Washington's Dulles Airport simply because she was Colombian. The customs agent dismissed her claim of diplomatic privilege, waving off her protest with an obscenity, barked as if from the mouth of a dog. Colombians, most of whom have never used or seen cocaine, have lived with the consequences of the trade for two generations. For four terrible years, from 1996 to 2000, a kidnapping occurred in Colombia every 3 hours of every day. Altogether, 30,000 men, women, and children were torn from their families, many never to return. By 2012, nearly 5 million Colombians had abandoned their country, some by choice, others desperate to escape the violence.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?